Lots of movement right now in the foreign exchange. Let's take a closer look with our guest, Paul Mackel. He is Global Head of FX Research at HSBC, and Paul joins from our studios in Hong Kong. Happy New Year, Paul. Thanks for being with us. A lot going on. I got to begin with this move in the yen here. I mean, it's been a monster couple of days for the Japanese currency, particularly against the greenback. Is this all BOJ driven, do you think?
The short answer is no, I don't think so. I think that, you know, if we go back to all the headlines that we're reading on the wires right now, there's lots of uncertainties. The mood music for many different policymakers or politicians globally is talking about downside risks to global growth. And the yen, the way that it's performing, is that some of that safe haven tone for the currency seems to be working better, much better than what we had in 2022. So to sum up, I don't think it's just a function of how the Bank of Japan tweaked its yield curve control framework. I think that, yes, the mood has been buoying the yen for some time, but also for the right reasons.
Do you suspect, though, that perhaps was just the start from the Bank of Japan? We're already expecting a change to the inflation outlook at the end of the month. Governor Kuroda's term ends in April. Is 2023 going to be the year we see some real action?
I think the speculation about what they could be doing next is not easily going to be going away. But what we also have to see playing out is what happens with the wage negotiations in Japan within the next few months. Does that really increase a lot, which would then give further reason for the Bank of Japan or the market to think that the Bank of Japan could have to be even bolder? But, you know, for now, our baseline scenario is that they've done their tweak. They're going to sit back and probably watch how the inflation panorama develops, particularly with wages. But I don't see any sudden need for them to change right now.
A little bit of a different story here in the U.S. A lot's going to become clear when we get the employment data at the end of the week, particularly the wage component. I think our survey is looking for average hourly earnings rising about 5% in the month alone compared to last year. So assume for the moment that the Fed is going to remain aggressive. Yes, we have moved from 75 down to 50, but the intentionality behind that remains the same. Does that necessarily mean that the dollar remains on the course that it's been, or is it going to waver a little bit? I'm trying to understand where the dollar is, particularly given everything you're unpacking there with the yen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a critical question right now because the dollar's sell-off since the DXY's peak in late September has been absolutely astonishing. And, you know, what was looking at one of the biggest or most bullish dollar trends that we've had in at least a couple of decades turned out into being ending on such a whimper. And I think we need to be careful here because you're absolutely right. If we get another strong set of wage numbers or the next round of CPI data is on the high side versus expectations, and the Fed has to come out pushing back against any type of rate cuts developing in the market, then that could squeeze the dollar higher versus a number of different currencies. So absolutely, I think we need to be a little bit careful here about getting overly complacent on being negative on the U.S. dollar.
Although your baseline is that, you know, we have seen the peak in the U.S. dollar, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So which currencies do you see as being the biggest gainers against the greenback in 2023?
Well, I mean, the pace of the decline has been absolutely, as I said, so powerful in the last couple of months. So when we could see a squeeze in the dollar, I don't think it would be a sustainable one. I think it would be still the setup of looking for that opportunity to still sell it or fade it. In terms of the biggest outperformers, even in taking into account the weakness that has unfolded for the greenback, look, I think that the yen is still going to be a fairly resilient currency. I think that the European currencies will still be benefiting more by default than merit. They could be grinding higher. I think the Aussie dollar is a very interesting currency, has, I think, some strong upside potential there, particularly if China's economy is becoming more online as we roll into the second quarter. So I think top picks amongst the major currencies at least would be the Aussie dollar.
Paul, I want to get your take on the Chinese currency. That was quite the rally that we had in the offshore last Friday. Some of that was tied to the PBOC saying that onshore trading hours will be extended. But I think if you look at it, maybe you can agree that the fundamentals on the China story, particularly given everything that's happening with COVID, that has not changed. Why, if it's not tied to a shift in trading hours, what's going on with the Chinese currency that would account for the strengthening?
Well, two things. I think first is what we were discussing earlier. I mean, this the dollar itself is soft versus many different currencies, and the renminbi can't defy gravity when that, you know, that weakness is unfolding for the U.S. dollar. The second thing comes down to, well, there's been probably quite a big buildup of FX proceeds, long dollar positions by, you know, Chinese entities for some time. And if they're looking at what's happening in the FX market and this weak dollar, do they really want to be holding on to all those dollars? And then the answer is probably not. So most likely they've been converting more of those FX proceeds, and I think that's been playing to the renminbi's advantage despite the soggy fundamentals on the ground.
Do you see us testing 7 again for the offshore yuan?
Not unless we have a corrective move higher by the U.S. dollar by against many different currencies. I don't think so. But let's not rule it out completely, because there's still a lot of uncertainties about how things are going to be unfolding for China's economy within the next couple of months, the reopening, the COVID situation on the ground. So it's possible, but I don't think it's going to be a sustainable move than anything else.
We heard from the IMF director, Kristalina Georgieva, a short while ago, saying half of Europe is going to be in recession next year. And I'm trying to understand the strengthening of the euro. I mean, parity against the greenback, I can understand when you're talking about recession going across the continent right now. Is this a situation that we should take a closer look at, dollar-euro?
Well, recession probabilities for many European economies have been rising for over the last year. So is it new news? I would push back against that.
But I'm wondering about the strengthening, though.
Yeah, well, I think that this is, you know, it comes back down to the bigger dollar itself, because what's been critical to that is that just some of the uncertainty about the Fed or belief that they have to do a lot more in terms of raising interest rates, that story is coming to an end. And I think that's giving a lot of relief to many different currencies, even those that are facing, you know, quite a challenging economic outlook, namely those in Europe. So I talked about European currencies benefiting more by default than merit. I think that explains some of the euro's resilience.
Yeah, and the IMF also saying that, well, if you think China, the US, and the EU have got a bad, well, emerging markets are going to have it even worse. But you have a buy rating for another number of EM currencies. What's the thinking here?
Well, part of it is, again, I keep repeating myself about the broader dollar taking in this corrective phase, and that gives a lot of relief. And when the Fed stops raising interest rates, the anxiety around that subsiding, the volatility starts to come down in the FX market or in other asset classes, and that sets the stage for a number of EM currencies to stabilize and recover. We begin to see that. You know, I think that we still need to be a little bit careful, because there is lingering, concerns about, as I said, what's happening in China. Could the Fed still need to be a little bit bolder? But overall, I think that the setup is more comfortable compared to where we were over the last, the last 12 months. So I think our confidence very much residing in certain stories in Asia, namely in the ASEAN region, and also elsewhere in the emerging world, such as Latin America.
So you talked a moment ago about the relative weakness in the dollar. Are you concerned about the rate of change, the rate of acceleration in that depreciation? Does that give us insight into a level of risk that we need to unpack?
I think that, yes, we do need to be careful here, because it has sold off very, very fast, very quickly over the last 2 to 3 months. And when we still have, you know, the Fed has not, called the end to the rate hiking cycle just yet. All it takes is an inflation surprise, strong inflation set of numbers coming through, and we can see that dollar squeeze quite nastily versus many different currencies. Now, that to me is a squeeze. That would be a spike. That wouldn't be a sustainable one. But we do have to be mindful that those near-term uncertainties still exist.
Very quickly, Paul, do you see the Fed easing in 2023?
No.
Okay. That was quick.
There you have it. Succinct as always. Paul, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to visit with us and to join us from our studios in Hong Kong. Paul Mackel is a global head of FX research at HSBC.